Jamie and Locke over the air in the Green Zone. A severe thunderstorm warning has popped up for the city of Regina as the system starts to work its way through. Also around the Wilcox area, there's another severe thunderstorm warning in Saskatchewan. So we'll keep you up to date on the weather. You can hear it outside right now. It's rumbling. Of course, the Rough Riders and the Lions on Saturday at Mosaic Stadium. Rough Rider defensive tackle Micah Johnson joining us here on the Green Zone. Micah, how's your afternoon?
It's going good, man. How about yours?
Very well. Very well indeed. So, Micah, have you heard about Luke Wilson in the Canadian Football League? Like, you're a veteran of the league. How are you feeling?
I haven't really got a chance to dive in and really what he said, but I have seen it. I have seen him up on the airwaves and all over social media, but I haven't really clicked to find out what exactly he said.
He's a little critical of how sloppy the game was on Friday against the Toronto Argonauts a little bit. Hot garbage is what he used as a term from some of his language. But it's interesting. Mike, you've been around a long time. So we asked this to the fans. I want to ask it to you. As an American guy who's come up here and embraced the CFL and has been around a long time.
Played both games, right?
Yeah, in the NFL and the CFL. What do you like about the CFL game? Like, if you talk to your buddies back home, you're like, the CFL is awesome because of why?
Coming up to the CFL, I was a former linebacker. So just for me, just the dynamic of the downs, just having just the three downs, really awesome to me. I like that. And the width of the field, I think that allows for, you know, a lot of bigger plays to be made. It's a lot more space. The receivers waggles. And, I mean, all the way down to the length of the end zone, man. I love it all.
I'm curious. And I remember when I first started going to practices, I'm new here, new guy here on the show, Micah. I said to Jamie, I said, Micah seems to be, and you're not the only one, but you seem to layer up at practices. And I'm wondering what the thought process is behind that, Micah.
For me, I like to just put some extra stress on my body throughout the week and just adding that heat element for me just makes it easier when it comes game time. I mean, I don't have all that on. But for me, guys always ask me that, but I'm out there in sweat. So I have, you know, hoodies on and everything like that, trying to stay covered up as possible. Because I just like adding, you know what I'm saying, that heat factor and just making, you know, just making yourself a little bit more comfortable to practice the game, just being that much easier.
So you think that helps you in the game, huh?
I do, because in practice, it'd be, especially like right now, like today was a hot day, so it was super grueling, and I was out there with sweat and, you know, hoodie on and everything like that. So just for me, when I come time for the game, I don't have nearly as much as stuff on. I actually don't, you know, have nothing on but the uniform, so it just, I feel that much better on game day.
Okay. What's the rehydration drink?
For me, I'll usually the day before the game, I'll load up on a few I'll grab two Pedialyte. And I'm a big, they got the little electrolyte salt packet. So the 2 days before the game, I really start knocking down things like that. I'll try to get two Pedialytes in, including the day before the game and game day.
Okay, we asked Belton Johnson this question. I'm interested. And I think he said when he was at Ole Miss, he lost over 10 pounds in one game.
He said 10 pounds a game was a regular thing.
Well, what is it? What is it for you, or has it been for you?
I remember some days that takes me back to my rookie year. I was with the Dolphins. That was some of the hottest days I ever experienced in my life. But I remember losing, you know, guys. I lost, 13 pounds one practice.
What?
That was, you know, we had two days, man. Full pads. I had to get IV. Like I did the second day, my whole body just locked up. I had to get 5 bags of IV. But yeah, I lost 13 pounds on practice.
That's crazy.
Is crazy.
Micah Johnson with us here on the Green Zone. Let's focus in on the Riders. So let's go to last week. Can you appeal fines in the Canadian Football League, Micah? And is this one you want to go after or not?
Yeah, you can appeal fines. It's a you know, it's one of those things, man. Like, you appeal it, but very rarely do you win the appeal. But, yes, definitely one that I'll be appealing. I already wrote a letter to the league beforehand, kind of trying to explain the situation. But it's a lot of gray areas in those hits, man. They're making it real hard on defensive linemen. And, I mean, like I said, I understand the game. I understand the importance of the quarterback to the game. We don't want quarterbacks injured, but it's just some things that are literally unavoidable, and they'll penalize you for it. And I just think it comes down to guys not really understanding the game or haven't been in much of those situations themselves.
Well, I just thought, if I remember the play right, I thought Arbuckle
kind of docked down.
Oh, he docked, and I don't know how a defender is supposed to adjust your body in a blink of an eye like that. Puts it, as you said, puts everybody in a tough position.
Right. I mean, like, the guy's rolling out the pocket and closing on him, and he still had the ball, so he didn't release it. And like you said, by the time I get there, he ducked his head. I didn't lower my shoulder. I didn't lower my head. I didn't lunge myself. He just literally ducked and hit me.
That's what I tweeted that out. I was like, what? Anyways, but penalties were an issue. Accountability from Corey Mace has always said it has to come from the players. It can't come from him. So how do you attack that as a veteran, to hold each other accountable? And why is that important from a player's point of view, that the coach kind of hands it over to the room to say, you guys have to keep each other accountable. I can't be coming in here kicking garbage cans.
Right. I think it just comes from, like, exactly what you said. We have to hold ourselves accountable. And, you know, we're the guys on the field. You know, we're the guys playing. We're the guys that's out there having to make the full speed decision. So it does come down to us a lot. And, I mean, it's only so much Mace can do. And it's only so much ways he could try to address it and, you know, address the team about it. So it definitely comes on our shoulders. And I think it was one of those games that kind of just snowball, things got hectic. Next thing you know, we're 17-18 penalty. So it was embarrassing for us. We don't like that. You know, that's not how, you know, we envision ourselves playing ball. It's not the standard we hold ourselves to. And I think the previous two games were more indicative of, you know, who we're trying to be.
Mike, as a veteran in the league, it's obvious, too, if we're watching you on the sidelines or in practice, you seem like a vocal participant of this team. You're always chatting with the guys. What are you saying? Like, what are some of the messages that you're passing along to the younger guys coming up in this game here in Canada in the CFL?
I mean, just understanding the situation you're in. You know, I'm just trying to preach to the guys, you know, it's not the time to get complacent. A lot of times I think that's hard as a rookie. You put in so much work and you finally make it, and a little bit of complacency can set in, but now's when the fun just really starts. So for me, it's just a lot of challenging guys. I got a lot of good personal relationships with the guys around me, and that's what I try to build, you know, good relationships with guys off the field, so I'll be able to talk to them and have good conversations with them, and they know it's all coming from love. So a lot of me is just, you know, I'm a big football, you know, head. I watch football all the time. I'm a football guy through and through. So a lot of times I'm looking at the guys around me. I'm looking at my teammates. I'm looking at their game. I'm talking to them about their game and, you know, different things they see or different things I see or ways they can improve and vice versa for me. So that's always just, you know, kind of been my nature.
Micah Johnson joining us here on the Green Zone, Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Tavon Campbell told us there's something special. That's why he came here. Mm-hmm. Mike Rose told us something special. Jake Mayer felt it coming over here as well. Sean McEwen, what is special about this group? From someone who's been here and watched it grow, why are people attracted to sign with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders with the culture Corey's built?
I mean, I kind of think it starts from the top to bottom. I mean, even before, you know, I was playing for the Riders, you know, playing with Calgary, you know, you always hear about how the players get treated here, how the players get treated well. That's a top-class organization. So I just think that in itself, you know, guys want to, you know, that's a good, great start point. Guys want to be a part of that. A lot of guys are coming from big football places, big football programs. A lot of guys are coming from, you know, the NFL. So it's just the amount of professionalism that you will want when you become a professional coming to the CFL that, if I'm being honest, every team doesn't have, but, you know, SAS definitely does. And okay. From the top, it boils down to, you know, the coaching staff. And I think the closeness of the coaching staff is huge. I think it shows, you know, we got a great staff, a bunch of great coaches with some great personalities. So it kind of, you know, permeates when you got, you know, the guys leading the band with their great personalities and how they see the game. And then the players, we're a close group. Like you said, everybody is close with each other. We all vibe with each other. You can go to any position group and hang out in the room. You know, we're a close-knit group. So I think when you add all that together, it's kind of, you know, it feels different at that point when you add all those elements together. And then especially if you got guys coming from different places that have been different places in the league or even been to the NFL, you can feel it. So, I mean, I think from top to bottom, you can feel the specialness.
2017. Mike Rose comes to the CFL. You were in year five. Corey Mace was in his second year as the defensive line coach after retiring from football. Which one of you have improved the most since 2017?
Definitely Mike.
Was he a pretty raw rookie or what? What are you seeing from Rose?
Yeah, he was a raw rookie, man. I used to be on his head a lot, messing with him, you know, pulling him on a lot. You know, he was a good guy, though. You saw that he was a good guy. He was willing to learn. That's why I kind of took Mike under my wing, because he would listen. He was a good listener. So it's just to see, you know, the player from when I left Calgary, you know, 2018, 2019, to, you know, the perennial all-stars he's been putting up. I definitely think he's improved a lot.
Micah, the Wildcats, you played in college. Not the best year last year. Can Kentucky, can they turn it around next season?
I think they can turn it around, man. I think it's just it's one of those things about playing in Kentucky. You're playing in the best conference. In all of football. So the amount of money those other programs have, and I think just with the NIL kind of changing the landscape on recruiting, it's going to be hard. So it's just going to come down to if they can land some big-time recruits and get some guys to come in there and play at a high level. And I think that always when it comes down to Kentucky, man, when you're playing against the SEC, you got to have the guys that can match up with the other guys in the SEC.
Oh, well, Micah, always appreciate you taking the time. Have a blast chasing quarterbacks on Saturday.
I got you, bud.
That is Micah Johnson here on the Green Zone of the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Kickoff 5 o'clock on Saturday. Of course, the Green Zone pregame show, 3 o'clock on Saturday to get you set. By the way, the Blitz podcast is up. It's on YouTube. You don't want to miss the YouTube version of the show. Locker enjoys watching Britton and I.
It's great on Spotify. Fastest growing CFL podcast in Canada, ladies and gentlemen. The Blitz. Don't miss it.
That math, according to Locker. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with the ear in the Green Zone. We have a tornado warning that's popped up in southern Saskatchewan in the Ogama area right now to pass along. So that is a tornado warning. A possible tornado location near Ogama. Traveling eastward. This involves Ogama and Glasnevin. They are the locations in the RM of Key West and Kayville. Tornado warning this afternoon. Also, there's some severe thunderstorm warnings, including around the city of Regina and up around North Battleford. So another severe weather afternoon in Saskatchewan. Real quick, before we get to the one-minute drill, I skipped over this day in sports, ran out a little bit of time. An interesting draft history today.
Yeah, today's a big day, eh?
June 26, 93.
The first pick in the 1993 entry draft, the Ottawa Senators welcome Alexandre Dave.
Not the greatest pick for first overall. NBA draft, a little bit of difference here on this one, 2003.
The Cleveland Cavaliers select LeBron James.
LeBron James. James went first overall to the Cavs. And 10 years ago today,
the Edmonton Oilers would like to select with their first pick from the Erie Otters, Connor McDavid.
10 years of Connor McDavid with the Edmonton Oilers.
Greatest player in the history of the game, some would say.
Nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying that. Don't start with me. It's Wayne Gretzky. Win a championship first, then we'll talk, Connor. That'll get people on the dance floor at summer weddings this year in Saskatchewan. No doubt about it. Jamie and Locker with you in the Green Zone. Pouring rain in downtown Regina. Severe thunderstorm warnings in effect. Also, tornado warnings in some areas of Saskatchewan as well. Earlier told you about the Ogama region. We'll continue to bring you up to date on the watches, the warnings in Saskatchewan, but tornado warning, Ogama, Kayville areas right now. Also a new one in Pangman, RM of Norton. Those are the two tornado warnings as another afternoon of severe weather on the prairies. Tomorrow, it's the NHL draft. Then Canada Day, it is free agent frenzy in the National Hockey League. And, of course, the name at the top of the list is Mitch Marner, the Toronto Maple Leaf star player who appears he's not really interested in going back to the spotlight or the fishbowl that is Toronto. And we had Luke Fox on yesterday talking about Mitch Marner, and he brought up, you know, Mitch probably wants to test the market and get awakened from a little bit of the fishbowl, as I mentioned. And Locker, I hear that and I go, is that a player you want? Because the Maple Leafs went to game 7 of the Stanley Cup playoffs against the Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers in the second round. Went to game 7. Yes, everybody will joke about the Leafs and oh, the Leafs. But game 7 against the Florida Panthers in round 2 is an indication that they have to still be on the list of teams among the contenders in the National Hockey League. So where is he going to go?
Well, there's
Utah, Anaheim, L.A., Vegas. Where's he going? And do they have a better chance than the Leafs? He's only worried about the spotlight and the attention. To me, that is not a player I would want on my team that would prioritize that over winning a Stanley Cup.
I think it's a combination of things. I'm not trying to defend Marner because I'm in the same boat.
You want him on the Oilers?
No, I don't. But I don't think this is easy as it's way more complicated. I think there's a lot more going on with the Marner thing and the relationship with Toronto than we know. Right, like the Carolina, the Hurricanes thing that popped up before the deadline, right? Around the deadline this year. And then they asked him for Ratanen, right? Would you be willing to accept a trade?
And he said, no.
Like, that's said, the one thing where I'm like. But that's the team giving an indication that maybe they're giving up on. I think it's more involved. Again, the conversation revolving around the Toronto Maple Leafs and whether or not, you know, you're in a fishbowl. I think most players in the National Hockey League look at the Canadian markets as tedious based on the coverage that they get and the scrutiny they get. And then the other thing is whether it's fair or not, Marner has been blamed for everything that goes wrong with the Toronto Maple Leafs. They pile on. Like, we had a conversation about the difference in the personalities between Marner and Nylander. Nylander, you know, doesn't wear a shirt during his, you know, his post-game scrums and takes the subway in. Doesn't seem to have any issues with the press. goes for coffee in the middle of the city, doesn't have, like, no one blames Nylander for anything. But as soon as anything goes wrong with the Toronto Maple Leafs, it's all Marner's fault.
And Matthews.
And Matthews gets a little bit, but Marner gets the bulk of it. And maybe it's because he's a hometown boy.
Maybe it's because he's only scored two goals. And last year he scored one goal. And the year before that he scored two goals. That's why.
Yeah, I get that.
He ghosts in the playoffs.
Matthews ghosts in the playoffs. John Tavares had, you know, he didn't have a great outing. Why all the pressure on Marner? And he's got to be wondering that himself, I think. But I wouldn't want him on my team.
1-877-332-8255. That's the question we are asking you. Would you want Mitch Marner on your team? If going into free agency next week, are you thinking, yes, go get Mitch Marner? Absolutely. Because you have to consider he's going to ask for $13 or $14 million per season. 1-877-332-8255.
Whatever your team is, that's who we're asking. Like, if you're a Habs fan, you want him on the Habs.
What about the Calgary Flames?
Are you a Sabres fan? Do you want him on the? Are you a Chicago Blackhawks fan? Do you want him on the Chicago Blackhawks? There might be a case to be made for the Chicago Blackhawks.
A team that is at the bottom of the standings. Imagine they're like, yeah, let's go get a 102-point player. But as a contender, I'm not so sure. 1-877-332-8255. That's the fan line. Give us a call. Would you want Mitch Marner on your team? Now, I brought this subject up with somebody who works across the hall on our sister station, C95Z99, and that is a Vegas Golden Knights fan. Wheels couldn't wait to weigh in on this.
Ooh, gentlemen.
Vegas, are you jumping for joy that the rumblings are he might already be buying real estate in Vegas? He's
apparently in Vegas
with his family.
Real estate agent and his family looking at homes.
Let's be clear, guys. He's coming to Vegas. He is going to be a Vegas Golden Knight. It's what we do. The question of, do I want this guy? Absolutely not.
Really?
No. He has proven year after year he does not have that dog in him in the playoffs. We don't need 100-plus points in the regular season. The Knights just won the division. What we need to do is beat the Oilers. What we need to do is beat the Florida Panthers again. Mitch Marner does not do that. And for $14 million, you're crazy. Give me a Zach Hyman. Give me a Sam Bennett. Give me someone.
I take Sam Bennett over Zach Hyman.
Someone who shows up in the playoffs, will throw a body check, and at least try.
What about his performance in the Four Nations? I mean, I'm just trying to make a case for the kid.
I don't know. It's different. It's an all-star game, I would say, right?
Yeah. He's throwing the puck over to McDavid, right?
A lot of times you end up in a situation as well, and I think players can even convince themselves of this, that if they get a change of scenery, right, and I bet you people like his agent and in his corner, in the Marner corner, are probably, you know, the ones that are a proponent of him. Is, I mean, his agent has told him to go to free agency and test the waters. I bet you get a situation where a lot of them are saying, listen, you need a change of scenery. So does he show up in Vegas and all of a sudden become a completely different? We've seen it before. There's lots of cases where guys have not performed well. We might see it. You know, Kane might have a revitalization in Vancouver.
Stop it. I mean, maybe he's coming to Vegas, so I hope he does. But it's effort, Locker. You watch the guy play in the playoffs. There's no effort. Nylander's calling him out on the bench because he's complaining and not trying. All we're asking to do is try in the playoffs.
If Sam Bennett was still a Calgary Flame, would he have the same impact on the Flames that he had in Florida this year?
No, but give me the effort. I think his effort would be the same in the playoffs. Absolutely. There's certain players that just show up when it counts, and Mitch Marner is not one of them.
Okay, let's get to the fan line. Wheels, you have a charity event tonight in Regina. Good luck for Z99 and the NICU, raising money with first-timers stand-up comics.
We'll get some good audio for you, boys.
Good luck with this. The Cringe Fest.
Is that what it's called, the Cringe Fest?
Unofficially, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Z99. Stand-up comic. Rookie stand-up comics tonight. Check it out at the Kira if you're in the Regina area. Anyways, let's get to Jace on the fan line. Jace, Ottawa Senators fan. Here's the question. Mitch Marner, do you want the Senators to go get Mitch?
Not for the money he's asking. The money he's going to ask. Like, we need a player like him, right? Like, we need a fast-paced, good guy that can shoot and can make plays sometimes.
Two-way?
He plays
decent defense. He's on the power plays. He's on the PK.
Yeah, we need somebody like him on Stutzla's line because Stutzla, he's doing a lot by himself. He's not getting a lot of help. But for the money that Marner's gonna ask, I don't see it. But honest, I see him going to Carolina. I think that'd be a better fit for him, and they can definitely afford him. Question for you boys. Now, after the Four Nations, is Marner going to play on the Olympic team?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah?
I was almost surprised he wasn't one of the original six, to be quite honest, on that team for Team Canada. So, Jace, you would like Mitch Marner, but only if the price is right.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have a lot of cap space to go around, but somebody like him. Like, a lot of people were talking about J.J. Paterka coming to Ottawa, especially as, you know, a German brother to Stutzla, but which horrible trade by Buffalo, by the way. But
there's a surprise.
Yeah. But somebody like him.
It'll be interesting to see. Jay says, yeah, but not at that price.
Sens only have, I didn't realize they were in this much cap trouble. They only have 10, close to 11 million of space available.
But I'm pretty sure they have a lot of their bulk signed for next season.
Yeah.
Someone calling Marner did show up. He did show up for the Four Nations. Shane, I've said it 1,000 times. Mitch has a better points per game in the playoffs than Matthews, and people blame Marner. Matthews is top dog. He's to blame, not Marner. Mitch will win a Stanley Cup before Matthews does, says Shane.
Huh.
Will either of them win? I'm not so sure. 1-877-332-8255. Believe it or not, of the big four with the Toronto, Marner has scored more playoff points than any of them since they've been together, notes Brad from Prince Albert. Sean is on the line. Sean, would you want Mitch Marner on your team?
No. No, because he doesn't perform in the playoffs. The regular season, sure. But in the playoffs, no. And where he's going to land up, well, my teams are the Oilers, so he's not staying in Canada like he said anyway. But yeah,
doesn't want to play in a Canadian market.
No. So he's going to go somewhere where it's quiet, like Nashville, Columbus,
Utah,
Anaheim, Utah, maybe even Seattle, maybe. But he's going to go somewhere where it's quiet, not a big market, because he just wants to fly underneath the radar.
It's going
to
be Vegas or Los Angeles. I think it's the Kings or the Golden Knights. It's one of those two. That's where it's all fingers seem to be going, is one of those two places. But again, not nearly the amount of media attention you're getting in Canada or scrutiny in those markets.
Watch, he'll miss it. It won't be all about him.
He's like, wait, you don't want me to do a commercial? Nobody wants me to do commercials anymore?
Ding.
What do I do?
Ding.
He does do some commercials in the Toronto, in Canada. That's for sure.
He puts himself out there. For sure he does.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line. The texts are coming in. We'll get to some of what you're saying about Mitch Marner, number one free agent on the market. Do you want him on your team? Do you want your team to go out this free agency and land themselves Mitch Marner? 1-877-332-8255. This is the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. 1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. Someone brought up Babcock with Mitch Marner. Ian, after getting Babcock gone, he had no wiggle room with the fans. Now, here's my thing with Babcock, and I've said this over and over again. Babcock saw this in Mitch Marner right away, that he was I'll just say it. He was a bit of a baby.
Prima donna. He's a bit of a prima donna.
And he wanted to tough him up. He did it wrong. He didn't do it right.
That is...
There's no doubt. There's no question about that.
That's worth saying out loud.
But it is clear. Babcock saw it and it was, right away. And he tried to fix it. He tried to make him tough and toughen up. He did it wrong. He brought it, did the list and disclosed it to Tyler Bozak. And it was like, no, can't do that. But that moment was Babcock going, come on, man. You're better than this. You need to work harder. You need to do all these things. And
that wasn't the only mistake Babcock made.
No.
I mean,
that's how he got fired from the Leafs, was bullying Mitch Marner.
Yeah. You can't beat that stuff out of, you know what I mean? Like, the old way, you can't.
Yeah. 1980? Could do it.
Yes.
Mike Keenan did it. Not in 2019.